Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
And all you'd ever hear me say is how I picture me with you. That's all you'd ever hear me say. But since you've been gone, I can't breathe for the first time. I'm so moving on, thanks to you. Now I get what I want since you've been gone.
Move on to, there's one other item on the county attorney's report. The
Do you want to tell us about it?
Regarding customary use.
Wonderful.
Oh, no. Customary use of the beaches in Perdido Key. Once again,
we
once more into the breach. What's
we
that?
Need music.
Theme
we
music
need a
just
dun,
for
dun,
that.
Dun.
Yeah, just, you know, it's suddenly, okay, all right, fine. I'll do it that way. Here we go.
Move on to, there's one other item on the county attorney's report. The
Do you want to tell us about it?
Regarding customary use.
Wonderful.
Does that make you feel better, John?
All right, I love it.
So there we go. Now, in order to understand this first clip, you're going to have to know a little bit of the history on this if you don't already know it. This is the question of whether the people have a right to go walk on the privately owned beaches on Perdido Key because of the history of being able to do that. That is uninterrupted, uncontroversial, widely recognized, and so forth. Okay, there's four basic requirements you have to do to pass it. The state passed a rule that said that the county can decide, you know, whether to allow customary use or to protect customary use. And we've been having this conversation at the county commission every meeting for like 6 months or more. It's been so repetitive, but it's an important thing because it's private property rights versus, you know, what people perceive as their right of access to the beach. So Steve Stroberger, who is the commissioner for Perdido Key after the redistricting that took place, District 1 includes that area, he has said private property rights and everybody who disagrees with me doesn't believe in the Constitution. I'm paraphrasing, but I don't think he'd disagree with that description. And so you've got four commissioners who to some degree or other have said, I mean, maybe they're open to it. Definitely Lumen May and Stephen Barry have said they're open to it, so that's 2-1. The question has been, where Mike Kohler and Ashley Hoffberger, although she's expressed some skepticism as well, being, you know, a little bit more pro-property rights side. So that's the backdrop to all of this. He's the one for sure no vote, possibly 2 no votes. And in order to have a quorum in a meeting, you know, to beat him, basically, they have to have, probably have to have 3 votes to do it. 2 votes probably isn't going to cut it. So Lumen and Steven versus maybe Ashley and Steve Stroberger, and then Mike Kohler is kind of the swing vote, maybe.
And I want to tell you all this. If you need my vote, I have to leave at 11:20. So, I have to. I have a plane at 12:50. My dad's having heart surgery tomorrow. So
you can leave right now if you need to. Go ahead.
Like, if he leaves, the vote is probably going to be 2-2 and the issue won't pass. So Steve Stroberger, and he and Mike are good friends. I mean, Steve used to be his, like, chief of staff. So before he ran for office. So it's kind of fun. You can go now. It's fine. No big deal. All right.
So this is also as a discussion item. So it's my understanding that we're discussing and we can provide direction to the staff, but we're not taking votes as of today is my understanding.
For me, I'm sick of putting it on the agenda without voting. How many times are we going to discuss it? We keep putting it on the agenda for what? I mean, wasting people's time. Vote it up, vote it down.
Well,
I very much agree with Lumen about this. You know, I don't get to say that an awful lot, but I mean, he is my commissioner in District 3, but, you know, he's a liberal Democrat and I'm not. And so, you know, but I agree with him. You have put this up so many times. Do something. Now, of course, for the people who want outcome A, do nothing is better than do A. Or is better than do B. And if people want outcome B, do nothing is better than do A, right? I mean, you know, limbo is better than the guaranteed wrong result. I don't know. I mean, it keeps wasting all of our time to pay attention to this, even though it's a big consequential issue. Anyway, so Mike Kohler.
I think we today tell staff to start looking at parcels and deeds immediately. We start having legal to collect evidence and testing. I do think everyone should read this Reddington case. I think it's pretty interesting. I have some confusion with the four pillars. I think I've shared that with you. I'm a little bit concerned how we'll meet those. I know we had customary use before 2018, but I'm not sure the way the law is written, and Allison and I have had a lot of discussions on that. That's why I think we need the testimonial piece to build the case.
And this got very interesting very fast because, again, Steve Stroberger and Mike Kohler are, you know, like close friends, okay, both Navy guys. And, I mean, remember earlier in this conversation, in this meeting, Mike Kohler had recused himself on legal advice because he had received a bunch of money at a campaign event like a day and a half prior from the OLF-8 developer Tri-W Group, and all the other commissioners were, well, what does that mean for all of us, and how can you do that? So now, a little bit later in the meeting, Steve Stroberger.
So, Mike, are you okay with the...
Excuse me, this is Steve Barry, but it'll be Steve Stroberger in a second.
So, Mike, are you okay with the board giving direction, asking the county to start taking information?
Yeah, what I want to know is, are you going to recuse yourself, Mike, because for the same reasons that we just did?
Why? What's the purpose? No one caught I don't know. Gave me any money.
I don't know. I don't know who came to your...
Commissioner Stroberger, I'm not. We're doing what I consider is discovery. We're not making an ordinance,
which is correct. You know, we're just trying to gather information from people who think the beaches might be eligible for customary use. But Steve Stroberger's like, you're going to recuse yourself? I don't know who gave you money 36 hours ago. Nobody seems to know. And did the beach people, the people who want access, the yellow shirt folks, did they give you money?
I'll tell you what I learned just this week was we had lost a customary use case on Perito Bay. On Perito Key, in 1978, I think it was, in 1978. So I mean, isn't that a precedence? Isn't that pretty damn important to know?
Well, that would be in the evidentiary process. I would say that would be added, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not saying that. Well, those kind of things.
If we have to go any further than that, once we know that to be true.
Well, I don't know that. I think it's going to be decided by a courtroom more than likely. But I don't know. But. Are you opposed to asking the staff to look at parcels and deeds and collect evidence?
I am. I'm opposed to doing it only because it's going to be a waste of time.
Right. Well, I mean, that's not a surprise. Of course he's opposed to it. If you think something's wrong, you don't want to take the first three steps towards achieving an end wrong result. You know, you'd rather not do it at all, of course. So, of course he says no. We'll come back to this in a second. That claim about the court case in 1978, I think this is the year he said, is very interesting because... The idea is that, you know, people tried to acquire customary use in 1978 and the court case failed, which would, as he says, seem to dispose the answer. Like, we've already tried this. It didn't work. We'll come back to that in a second. John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
That's right. No accidents to report to you or delays. I-10, I-110 all look good, but we're still dealing with the flashing light at North W in Fairfield. So just be aware of that. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
And by the way, and I know I sometimes fail to do this, customary use is the idea that a beach has been used by the public without limitation or with only certain limitations for so long that it is as if it belonged to the public, even though it might technically belong to a private entity. And then the private property owners who own the parcels out on Perito Key, which do go to the Mean High waterline, some of them, not all of them, it's kind of each... There's different stretches. Those folks are saying, no, this is private property. We bought it thinking it was private property. And just like you can't force yourself onto my backyard without my permission, or at least I can force you off if you wind up there, trespass you. Same thing here on the beach. Okay, that's just for people who are new to this conversation or new to the show or whatever. Okay, so Steve Stroberger, says there's a case. District 1 says there's a case back in the 70s where they failed to get customary use approved. A judge said no. So he's talking to Allison Rogers, the county attorney.
Madam Attorney, if we know that we've lost a customer use case on Perito Key, does that kind of change the conversation a little bit?
It's very fact specific. It would depend on the geography, why that ruling was made, how far up the...
And I don't know anything system. About that case, but the...
By the way, she's exactly right. The question is which parcels, what lot lines, what rules were trying to be implemented. The facts of the particular case matter quite a bit. And, you know, a case that you lost back then, you might have... better evidence now. You'd think you'd have better evidence back then, but you might have different evidence now, or the standards of the law may have changed. So I know where he's coming from, but I think her analysis is correct. This is a question that may get asked more than once.
I don't know anything about that case, but there was a period of time, you know, when I was young and here, that it was considered public out there. So this, and this was after 78, but it was before, you know, it was before I was in office. I mean, so I don't know what the case from 78 was, but there was some period of time in the 80s and 90s where that area was considered.
So Stephen Barry, District 5, is saying, look, that part of the beach was considered open to the public, even though it was privately owned when I was here in the 80s and 90s after your 78 case. So I don't know what the case was, but practice was this.
But I can tell you, as a sailor that came here as an E2, it was customary use out there. Everyone walked around. And where it is now, that's where you went when you didn't have money. Now they charge you an arm and a leg, and they don't want you to use it. And it's just not right. I'm for green space and sand space, but I want to.
You weren't here for the meeting when I gave out the constitutions. I should give you one. I should give you one.
Well,
because they wouldn't take one. They wouldn't take one. They're essentially throwing out the Constitution is what they're doing.
Commissioner May.
Gettysburg Address. What's for me, but probably.
Because he's African-American, Gettysburg Address, not the Three-Fifths Compromise baked into the Constitution. I mean, it's always going to be like that. Suddenly Steve Stroberger, veteran, is offering to get a copy of the Constitution for Mike Kohler, veteran.
I think that's really sweet.
As though, yeah, right. As it's not meant to be sweet. It's meant to be an insult. Like maybe you have forgotten what the Constitution says. So what you're going to notice throughout this conversation is, look, I'm actually on Steve's side. I think customary use is probably a mistake. I definitely believe in private property rights, and I think that the arguments being made by the yellow shirt ladies in particular lean so heavily in the direction of, you know, sentiment against the rich people, resentment, socialism. They keep making all the worst arguments, and the more one side makes bad arguments, it makes you want to be on the other side. And, I mean, you have to kind of separate that from the actual merits of the case. But I'm probably on Steve's side. If I were a commissioner, I would vote against customary use, okay, in Perdido Key. But I think he knows he's losing. And he's so passionate that he starts to just get more and more upset about the fact that he's losing and can't win this argument. And so he starts to say sort of more and more incendiary things, which is, I mean, not a great approach, not typically.
So if the board would vote to direct the county attorney's office, natural resources, we can get planning.
Let's do that. Let's put it in drive and get it out of reverse. Somebody, please vote to tell Allison to go do it. I vote. Just get it out of reverse, because that's all we're doing. I mean, two steps backwards, turn around with your eyes closed. Let's go.
All right, Madam Chair, if...
I do believe that Commissioner Stroberger had something he wanted to say, since it is in his district, which it is odd that all of a sudden we're not referring to the commissioner whose district it is. But
it is super odd because of the particular way Escambia County works, where it's single-member districts. All the people in one area vote for their commissioner, and that's the only person who is actually politically accountable to those people in the county commission. So there's a heavy deference historically towards District 2, District 3, District 1, District 5. Of course, I think Lumen May would be like, well, yeah, you didn't give me any deference on the closing of Rawson Lane. It's a sore spot for him for years and years. But it's true. They generally do. Unless they want to gang up on somebody and do against their will, like was done many times against Doug Underhill in District 2. But in this case, you know, what Ashley is saying is, I thought we had a habit of deferring to the person who represents the people of the district. And not in this case, because they're not following what Steve Stroberger wants to do with public use. They're, you know, customary use. They're following what everybody else wants, which is itself kind of an interesting microcosm of the issue, because you have Steve Stroberger, who is politically accountable to the people who live on that beach, saying, don't allow customary use, as in the property owners on that key vote for him. And the other commissioners, at least three of them, you know, Mike Kohler, Lumen May, and Stephen Barry, who represent the rest of the public, but not the beach owners, are saying, no, we're going to take it anyway. that's kind of a microcosm of this issue. Allison says, let's study it. Lumen says, absolutely, let's do something. And this, we're going to end after this one, because we got to pause. We got, you know, the show is working this way, but this will help give you a sense of where this is all going. Steve Stroberger is going to lecture a little bit. And I think appropriately so.
So at its core, this debate is not about beach towels, umbrellas, or access points. It's about the right of exclusion, the most fundamental attribute of private property ownership. Without the right to exclude, ownership is hollow. Customary use asks this board, I'm hoping that you guys are listening to me too, because you're the ones I need to convince. It's not them. Customary use asked this board to declare that privately owned dry sand beaches are subject to public use based on historical practice. But that flips our constitutional framework on its head.
In America, property rights are presumed to belong to the owner unless lawfully conveyed, purchased, or taken with just compensation under the 5th and 14th Amendment. They are not subject to popular demand or retroactive interpretation. The doctrine of customer use requires proof that the use of ancient, reasonable, without interruption, and free from dispute. That very fact that this issue is being litigated and vigorously contested by property owners undermines that claim. That it has been uninterrupted and undisputed. If the right truly existed, we would not be here debating this.
You know, that's a very interesting take. The controversy proves it's not customary use because it's not uncontested. It's heavily contested. I don't know how much weight that would carry legally, but it's an interesting take on this. And, of course, the first part is exactly right. The right to own is the right to exclude. That is exactly what private property means. And the objection against customary use is it's eminent domain, but no payment. We're taking your ability to control your land, but we're not even going to compensate you for it. Nevertheless, the law does permit it. If it, you know, evidence shows, if the court finds, and so forth. But we'll come back to this a little bit later because I want you to hear the rest of it. It's a very interesting conversation. We're not done yet. They are going to, by the way, go ahead and approve, you know, moving forward with research phase, basically, having the staff look into this. And, well, you know, we'll see where it all lands. 625 on News Radio 92.3. John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
That's right. No accidents or delays to report to you. I-10, I-110 are all flowing smoothly. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. If you need a roof or you wonder whether you need a roof or you know you need a repair but you're not sure if that means is it better to get a whole new roof or just to repair it, Quality Roofing Solutions, they're here for you. Now, about 90% of what they do is going to be full replacements, so that is more common. But part of the reason is because once you get into doing a repair and the mobilization costs of getting the team on site and all of that, the additional cost of, if it's a significant repair, you know, the additional cost of actually replacing the roof may just be better, especially given that prices keep going up. And if you can get a savings on your home insurance because you do a wind mitigation inspection report or some other aspect of your insurance that gives you a better rate based on an improved roof, you know, you put all the numbers together, it might actually make more sense to do a replacement. But either way, the point is they're there for you. They'll talk with you. They'll walk you through it. They'll help you think about it. And, you know, they will do exactly what they say they're going to do. They've done 10,000 roofs in the last 20 years. They're a 4.9 rated on Google. And they have a lifetime warranty on the workmanship for the roof, which nobody does. I mean, that's crazy. They literally just started doing that about a year ago because they realized, I mean, you know, why not? We can do this. So Brian Ward started the company. Just wanted to serve the local community. QualityRoofingSolutions.com, 777-0961.
Hi, I'm Escambia County Sheriff Chip Simmons, inviting you to Cops, Cars, and Crawfish. It'll be April the 11th at Five Flags Speedway. This event will have a car show beginning at 7:30 until 9:30. At 10 o'clock, the gates will open. At 11 o'clock, we'll serve crawfish plates from Cubs Crawfish. We'll have hamburgers and hot dog plates. We'll have balloon animals, games, face painting, and more for the kids. All proceeds for this event will benefit the Escambia County Sheriff Foundation and their mission to support the heroes of the Escambia County Sheriff's Office. Cops, Cars, and Crawfish, April the 11th.
Tomorrow, the Pensacola Expert Panel welcomes Pensacola Habitat for Humanity at 10:30 a.m. as President and CEO Sam Young and Vice President of Programs Ruthie Noel will be in studio to talk about some of the amazing things they have going on with their homeownership programs. Learn about their new neighborhoods and discover ways to volunteer and donate to enhance lives through homeownership. That's all tomorrow at 10:30 on the Pensacola Expert Panel with Habitat for Humanity, transforming communities one homeowner at a time.
Hey, it is Christina Leavenworth with the Leavenworth team at Levin Rinky Realty.
Hey, this is Delino with the Boot Store.
Hey, I'm Jonathan Cook, owner of Jonathan's Construction Flooring.
What do these businesses have in common? They've trusted our years of marketing experience at ADX Communications.
I enjoy working with the great team with this radio station. Dependable, local, professional, result-driven ADX Communications.
We have advertised with Cat Country 98.7 over the past 10 years because we know radio works. And Cat Country reaches our target audience.
I always love referring business over to ADX Communications for the best radio advertising out there.
To have your business become part of our success story, no matter if it's Cat Country 98.7, News Radio 92.3, Sports Radio Pensacola 99.1, Pensacola's Playlist 94.5, or the area's most robust digital platform, call us today, 850-262-6000. That's 850-262-6000. And let ADX go to work for you.
You don't want rumors.
You want confirmation.
News Radio 92.3, 95.3 and AM 1620.
You want confirmation.
Informative, local, dependable.
What a money.
Yes, John, I am always adding bumper music to the rotation.
Well, I was always. Like, man, we're getting some new stuff
today. I know.
Today.
Let's see. David Wayne is in the newsroom this morning with our headlines. David?
Well, good morning, gentlemen. The U.S. war against Iran continues, and a Kuwaiti oil tanker came under Iranian attack while in port early on Tuesday off the coast of Dubai. Authorities say the tanker was hit by a drone and caught on fire. There were no injuries, and the fire has since been extinguished.
I saw a picture of this ship, and it's got a big old, you know, gray spot, probably 100 feet long on the side of it with a hole in the hull. But otherwise, it looks fairly good, and seems like they saved all the people and most of the oil. So, you know, it was hit but survived.
Yeah, and the company says that they're working to reduce environmental damage related to that.
So. Very good. Anything else, sir?
Nothing I can fit into this time.
It's my fault. All right. David, thank you so much for the update. 6:30 on News Radio. Now, you know, it's kind of interesting. I think, if I remember, I know Jeff Bergosh was very in favor of public access. I don't remember what he thought about customary use. But then when he gerrymandered and then Steve Strober got elected and opposed it. Politics does work sometimes.
Hitting a city home to one of Iran's main nuclear sites.
The United States hit an Iranian ammunition depot with 2,000-pound bunker buster bombs. The destruction just outside the city of Isfahan.
Fox's Trey Yings. Now it comes as Tehran struck a fully loaded Kuwaiti oil tanker in the Persian Gulf as gas prices crossed the $4 threshold for the first time since August of 2022.
As I was checking the prices, a banner came up on my phone saying that prices were going to surge because of this, war.
That man in California, President Trump says the U.S. is actively negotiating with Tehran. As an Iranian foreign minister spokesman says, there are no talks.
The meetings that Pakistan has with neighboring countries are, well, a framework they themselves have established.
America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 6:31 at News Radio 92.3. Right now we've got cloudy skies. It is 66 degrees. We'll get to our forecast. We've got Marion Caldwell with that in just a few minutes. This game be Sheriff Chip Simmons says that the area is safer today after two violent criminals were sentenced to 30 years each in federal prison. Darian Finley shot at a deputy during a stolen vehicle stop. Austin McCasler fired a semi-automatic rifle at a DEA agent during a drug search warrant. Both were stopped by Escambia deputies using pit maneuvers. Sheriff Simmons reflected on what that outcome meant to him.
When I hear of those stories where they're shooting at, trying to kill law enforcement officers, whether federal officers or local officers, I smile with a sense of pride, not because they tried to shoot and kill one of our officers, but because they weren't successful, because we understand that this is a dangerous job, and we survived not just to tell about it, but to testify about it, which was why they're going to do a lot of time in prison.
The cases were prosecuted by the U.S. Attorney's Office for the Northern District of Florida in partnership with the DEA, ATF, Florida Department of Law Enforcement, Santa Rosa Sheriff's Office, and Pensacola Police Department. Northwest Florida Congressman Jimmy Patron is introducing legislation aimed at getting federal infrastructure dollars prioritized for the roads that matter most here in our area. That includes Highway 98 over by Hurlburt Field.
We're putting an extra priority on, all right, guys, we're seeing this money. This is where it's got to be used. And so we're just trying to force the hands of our states when it comes to getting those dollars.
The Warrior Road Act would require states receiving federal transportation funding to give higher priority to roads that are critical to military installation access. Baptist Hospital in Pensacola has now earned a spot on the Forbes Top Hospitals 2026 list with a 4-star overall rating for clinical excellence and patient care. The Forbes rating system evaluates hospitals nationwide using performance measures from the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services. Baptist President and CEO Mark Faulkner says the recognition reflects 75 years of commitment to high-quality local health care. The hospital has also recently been recognized by U.S. News & World Report and Premier 15's top hospitals list. A Pensacola man charged with second-degree murder will stand trial after a judge denied his stand-your-ground motion yesterday. 30-year-old Devin Smith claimed that he shot Jabbar Franklin in self-defense at the Lavelle Way Days Inn back in 2023 after a history of violent confrontations between the two men. But Judge Amy Broderson rejected that claim, saying that at least three of the four shots struck Franklin in the back. Security camera footage that was played in court showed Franklin walking to the lobby with a cell phone and a water bottle before Smith opened fire. The judge said nothing in the video would give a reasonable person cause to fear imminent harm. Smith's trial's expected in July. The case is now several years old. It is 6:35 at News Radio 92.3. Let's check in with John Pickens, who's got our traffic on the fives.
Brought to you by Culver's. Lint is here. Enjoy shrimp or fish dinners or sandwiches. Cordova Mall, Mobile Highway, Milton and coming soon, and Pine Forest. Culver's, welcome to Delicious. Still rolling accident-free right now, but we're still dealing with the traffic light issue at W and Fairfield. It is flashing on the Fairfield side, so just be aware of that. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Another mild and muggy start to your Tuesday morning with temperatures in the 60s, continuing to see some cloud cover that'll linger into the afternoon with highs in the 70s. We do have that shot for an isolated shower, but most places will stay dry. And into the rest of the week, just expecting more of the same. I'm meteorologist Marian Caldwell with your WEAR First Warning Weather Forecast.
It is 66, cloudy skies right now. Our next news at 7, breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3, informative, local. Dependable.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along. Which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ziprecruiter.com/free. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you, it finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And right now you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free, at ZipRecruiter.com/free. That's ZipRecruiter.com/free. ZipRecruiter.com/free.
ZipRecruiter.
Hey there, homebuyers and sellers. I'm Will.
And I'm Angela.
With Cannell and Company Realty,
your dynamic real estate duo.
We're not just realtors, we're real estate MVPs. With a game plan tailored to your needs, we'll score you the home of your dreams.
Whether it's finding the perfect starter home or selling to upgrade, your goals are our goals, and we'll make sure you come out on top.
Angela Sherrill, 850-292-3165.
Will Maven, 850-261-7020, or at willmaven.com.
At Pensacola Christian Academy, your child will thrive in a safe, caring environment designed to build a solid foundation. Kindergartners become confident readers, develop fine motor skills through cursive writing, and sharpen problem-solving skills with engaging hands-on learning. Experience the affordable excellence and unmatched value of Pensacola Christian Academy. Learn more at enrollpca.com/radio.
You don't need someone yelling at you.
You just want someone to say what you're already thinking.
That's MVR. Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins. They take the biggest stories of the day, cut through the nonsense, and say the quiet part out loud.
The American people have had enough.
Well, except for white women 55 plus.
There are a lot of white women that lean left.
Usually with a little sarcasm.
Thankfully, we know all the sane ones.
MVR. Weekdays 11 till 2 on News Radio 92.3, 95.3, AM 1620. Informative, local, dependable.
Also home to Drew's mama, Keela.
Keela Richardson getting announced that she had made it into the Final 14. And if you don't know the format for American Idol, and I must confess, this is the first time I've watched American Idol, and I cannot remember how long. I was literally asking John, who was the country singer that was on there?
Who was that?
Carrie Underwood, Luke Bryan, and Lionel Richie. That was one I knew. Anyway, so, you know, she's from Pensacola. She's a music teacher from here, and she didn't make the top 14. I think there's no surprise at that whatsoever. So they get... They start the show by announcing that you're in, and then you perform. So the poor folks who got eliminated, they got all ready to perform, and then, nope, not happening.
Now, vying for those all-important votes, performing Gyra is Keela Richardson.
I'm a single mom. My son is the reason why I gotta keep going.
Hi, Mr. Luke.
One of my favorite moments I've ever had on this show.
That was the greatest performance I have ever seen on this stage.
She's the best mom in the world.
So, again, she's from Pensacola. She's a music teacher. She's 29, and she's singing a song. Did you catch the name of that song, John?
No, all I caught was Mr. Luke.
Mr. Luke. The Mr. kid, Prince. Yeah. The
yeah. Sorry, what was it?
The song is by Elevation Worship and Maverick City Music, featuring Chandler Moore and Naomi Raine in its original version, titled Gyra. Now, okay. You're a Christian guy.
Yeah.
Gyra means... God will provide, or God provides abundantly, or the Lord will see to it, right? So it's a phrase you sometimes hear in Christian circles, Jehovah Jireh, like the name of the Lord, and also the Lord who will provide. So this is going to be a religious song that she's singing. And, I mean, she's clearly a woman of faith as well, based on everything else we've seen. So she's going to sing. And remember the last time she sang with a little help from my friends, and we all got, like, goosebumps, and it was amazing. She's singing theology. Great. Everybody say, you are enough. And I will be
content in every circumstance. You are enough. If he trusts in the lilies, we be.
So I think when she's, I don't know if it's improvisation, but when she's riffing instead of just singing melodies, I think she's at her best. And she's just belting it. She's just killing it. Now, I generally am somebody who on these kind of shows, for singers, I always say sing a song that people know. Because then you have their love of the song and their love of your performance. When you're singing a song, even, I mean, I've not heard this song before, but even when you're singing a song that has great theology in it, there is a part of me that's like, yeah, but are people going to vote for a gospel song they don't know? Even if it's sung really well, I sure hope they will. John, thoughts?
No, I wholeheartedly agree because I didn't know the song and I'm, you know,
you're
I'd love to sing along.
You're a little distracted
you
by...
You saw me put my other headphone yes. on because I wanted to hear the full, yeah.
Right, you want to hear it, you want to know what are they saying, is she right. saying... You're kind of thinking about it too much instead of just enjoying it when it's a song you don't know.
Like when she did the other one, Find
we
a Little Help of My
Friend.
We all
know that song by heart,
we all did, and
yes.
we... You know, we got to pay more attention to her and
yeah,
her sound.
Yeah, and also because you know it, you can
feel
you can tell the difference between that song performed well and not well Whereas with a new song, you're kind of wondering, well, is that right? Is that the right note? Is that, you know, like, just because you're unfamiliar with it, is my opinion. So always been an advocate of, in these shows, if you want to be effective, you sing the song that people are going to know, that they're going to be like, oh, man, that's the best version of that I ever heard. You know, as opposed to, well, I like it. First time I heard it, you know. So anyway, Lionel Richie.
So here's the situation. You have that star look, that star sound, and more importantly, that star strut. You are walking that walk, singing that song. I just love your stage presence, and your presentation was so wonderful. Loved it.
The way he started and the way he kind of thought, I almost expected there to be a butt, like a, you know what I mean? The way he said the beginning, here's the situation. It's really, really good, but, you know, and maybe it was just me because I was thinking about the whole issue of knowing the song. Carrie Underwood loved it. Luke Bryan has a flair for saying the thing that maybe isn't the best way to always say it exactly.
You've kind of touched me in a lot of ways.
Whoa, this got deep.
Poor Luke.
You've kind of touched me in a lot of ways since your audition, and just watching your growth from there to now, and watching you come out here and really command the room and the stage. And I mean, you're spinning around, and you're just making this your moment. And I love that. Way to kick off the night. Great job.
So I would assume she's going to advance, but like it always is the case, you know, it takes America to vote. And you never know. You never know, especially, again, when you perform a song as a singer up against a bunch of other singers. I didn't watch the rest of the show. I watched 6 minutes of this show. The intro, fast forward. She's in. Okay, fast forward. She's singing, and then we're done. Because that's my level of commitment to this show at this point. If she gets to the finals, however many that is, maybe I'll watch the whole show. I'm just not invested in American Idol, except that Keila Richardson's from Pensacola, and so I'm invested in that. 6'4", is Jen, what? Too honest?
It's so you. Oh, my goodness.
I got time to watch some. I don't even know how long American Idol. It's got to be, let's say 14, 2, 10, 28. It's got to be 2 hours, right? I don't even know if it's an hour or 2 hour show. That's how low my level of knowledge is. John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
Ain't nobody got no time for that.
Ain't nobody got time for that. Come on, sweet Georgia Brown. Ain't nobody got time for that. Somebody out there is just like, loves me in this show, and is just like, their head is in their hands. I can't believe this person. I love him so, but I cannot believe he's that dumb about this show. John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
That's right. No accidents, and I have to deal with it for 4 hours a day. Okay, no accidents to report to you right now, but we're still dealing with the traffic light out at West Fairfield and North W Street. Other than that, we look good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Somebody texted in, well, there's no wrong notes when nobody's heard the song before, right?
Well, that is true.
Yeah, you got that going for you, yeah. But hey, if you need to deal with your employees, their benefits, you need to look at what they're doing, or honestly, you know, you kind of been growing your company and it's getting to be too much for you to handle, or whatever. Whether it's health insurance, dental, vision, life, disability, whether it's human resource management, whether it's payroll, Torgerson Consulting is out there to help you with this. Local company. Helping local companies like yours for more than 2 decades fix this stuff, make this stuff right, do the best that you can do, and, you know, maybe save money at the same time. I know because we started working with them 5 years ago, 2021, and they have been fantastic. They're not miracle workers. The health insurance marketplace is what it is, but they do the best possible in that, and they're always very responsive to our questions and our details, and just we love them. It's so much better just even having choices than we had with our company that we were using before. So if you have a company and you have to deal with all of this stuff, give them a call. Maybe they can save you money or do better plans or both. I don't know. 20-plus years in business helping local companies. No obligation to have them look over what you're doing. 433-9996 or check them out online at tcbenefitsgroup.com.
Managing your ECUA service is easier. The new My ECUA mobile app puts everything you need right at your fingertips. From paying your bill, submitting service requests, and reporting issues like missed collections, damaged or lost bins, water main breaks, and sewer overflows, it's all right there in one easy-to-use app. Take control of your services anytime, anywhere. So download My ECUA. It's available in the App Store and Google Play.
A better air filter on your air conditioner is nice, but it isn't enough. It takes a lot more than that to clean the air that you breathe. This is Todd with Gulf Coast Air Care. On Wednesday's Pep Talk, we'll talk about how to keep pollen, bacteria, and other pollutants out of your lungs. Remember what I always say, if you don't have a good air filter, you are one. Let's talk Wednesday morning at 9:30 on Pep Talk.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
ADX Digital Lead, Brian Prowitz.
What is website visitor ID? How much effort do you put into attracting people to your website without having any idea of who actually visits? With website visitor ID, you can collect the name, email address, physical address, and even demographic information from the people who come to your website, all without cookies. This is lead generation gold. It's called website visitor ID.
No one does digital like ADX Digital Marketing. ADXDigitalMarketing.com.
The five-day outlook is calling for intense flooding, followed by the end of the world!
You don't need panic. You need information. News Radio 92.3.
Now I know.
And knowing is half the battle.
G.I. Joe!
Round, round, get around, I get around. Yeah, get around, round, round, I get around.
Songs from a band that nobody's ever heard of called the Beach Boys, I think is the name of this band.
Yes. Wow, I think you would do good in radio.
David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. Oh, somebody texts in and says, you watched six more minutes of American Idol than I did. Fair enough, I understand. David Wayne, go ahead, sir. Federal Reserve Chairman Jerome Powell signaling a wait-and-see approach on interest rates. He delivered remarks at Harvard yesterday. Powell said they continue to monitor inflation expectations, especially given the situation in the Middle East. The next interest rate decision is due at the end of April. The Tiger King's Supreme Court appeal has been denied. Justices declined to throw out Joe Exotic's 2019 murder for hire conviction. Exotic, whose real name is Joseph Maldonado Passage, is serving Passage. It's Maldonado Passage.
Yeah, get it right.
Ask me how I know. is currently serving a 21-year prison sentence. I'm glad you're, you know, more knowledgeable. We watched the Tiger King thing on Netflix. Yeah, I watched it. I don't remember a whole lot from it, other than the fact that it was very
sober.
It was good. It was good.
It was
one of those things where you couldn't believe one thing to the next. Yeah. Like, how did they get here? These, like, polyamorous kingpins of exotic animal distribution, death threats, tribal feudal wars. I mean,
it had a little bit of everything.
Terrible mullets, gay, straight relationships. I mean, it was everything. It was all the stuff. Anyway, go on.
Hallmark movie.
Plus big cats.
Yes.
The CEO of Epic Games is making an apology after they apparently laid off an employee with terminal brain cancer. That employee was part of some mass layoffs the company had. And it now left that employee without a job or health insurance. His wife is posted on Facebook pleading for help from the public with a GoFundMe. Apparently, because of the layoff, he didn't just lose his job. He also lost his life insurance and now can't get any more. Because of his pre-existing condition. All right, David, thanks so much for the update. Coming up on Thursday, we haven't talked about this yet at all. The Board of Trustees for UWF is having an emergency or a special meeting in the morning in order to approve going to Division I. The reporting is Yahoo's got a reporter on it, so it's been kind of the rumor around town, and now you've got the Board of Trustees is meeting to approve something related to the athletic department. And then at 11 a.m., there's going to be a press conference at the Argos Club, and you're going to have Manny Diaz and Dave Scott, the athletic director, going to be there, and they're going to, I mean, everybody knows that what they're going to announce is that the University of West Florida is going to become a Division I school, moving from Division II to Division I. The football team is going to be joining the United Athletic Conference. And I'll tell you, just kind of funny, I was looking around doing research yesterday a little bit. The UAC already lists West Florida as part of the conference. Like, they've already listed this.
They've
as a
already
done deal.
Updated their website?
Yeah, well, Wikipedia. Okay. So it's, public collaboration says they're joining, but, it's not even been announced publicly and it's already on Wikipedia. Then there's also, what is the other one? I forget the name of the other one that we're joining. I lost it. Anyway, there's a conference that the rest of the sports are joining that is not the UAC. The UAC is just for football. And then the rest of the sports are going to be part of this other conference that is going to be our home base. Let me see if I kept that page open. I have been doing some really spectacularly bad radio this morning. I want to apologize for it. Because I had to reboot my computer, so I don't have it open. Anyway, so the UAC for football, the other members of that is Abilene Christian in Texas, which has 6,200 people. Austin Peay. I thought it was Austin Peay. Anyway, in Clarksville with 9,600 students. University of Central Arkansas in Conway, Arkansas at 10,100. Eastern Kentucky in Richmond at 14,000. University of North Alabama in Florence at 11,000. So it's kind of all spread out. Tarleton State University, or Tarleton, I'm not sure which, at Stephenville, Texas, 14,000. And then University of West Georgia is also joining this year, supposedly, from Carrollton. They have 14,400. We will be the biggest school in the conference. Isn't that weird? We're joining a Division I conference for football where we'll be the biggest school. UWF, of course, in Pensacola, has 15,006. Leaving UAC for the Big Sky Conference at the same time, starting July, I think, is Southern Utah and Utah Tech are both leaving to join Big Sky. So kind of interesting developments. And, you know, obviously this is going to be a major change for UWF. And UWF in football has really had a challenge finding opponents to play because they're so good for Division II that a lot of opponents do not want to play them. And so just finding enough games to make it possible to do a season has been a challenge, especially after they, you know, what, second year in and we won the national championship. So that has been a challenge. And so this has been the long talked about thing. Like, people have been talking about going to D1 for a long time. It doesn't surprise me that given his vision for growing the school's status, prestige, possibly size, although Manny Diaz has also said he doesn't really want to expand the size of the school so much as, you know, raise its, you know, knownness across the state and regionally. You know, if he wants to make the school what he has said he wants to make it, it's going to have to be a D1 athletic school. That, and building the stadium. I mean, all the things that are going on make this sort of one of the most obvious kept secrets ever. But it is a pretty big development. What do you think? 437-1620. John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
That's right. No accidents to report to you, but still dealing with the light out at West Fairfield Drive at North W Street. And also just got a tip of a dump truck that's broke down. Hazards are on in the southbound lane on Highway 29 at Kingsfield Road. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Yeah, the conference that we are going to be in for everything else is the Atlantic Sun Conference, ASUN. And this has a bunch of schools that are spread out, you know, everywhere from Texas to Delaware down to, you know, like Northern Florida is in this. UNF is in this conference. So that's going to be for, you know, baseball and golf and, you know, women's volleyball and softball and everything else other than football. The football, which is kind of an that's unusual, right, John? I've never heard of that.
Yeah.
But it apparently is because this UAC is, you know, just for football and these other schools have, you know, other what you might call indigenous conferences that they're in.
Interesting.
Like the WAC and the ASUN is the most common one. Of course, we're still in the GSC for now. We will not be able to play in championships, like bowl games and things, I think, for like 3 years. But we will be able to play in our conference, you know, like championships, basically. So it is really interesting. I had a really long conversation with Coach Yelton about this years ago. This is, I mean, gosh, like 7 or 8 years ago, we were at the Taste of Gulf Breeze, and she had such interesting comments on what this would mean for her sport, you know, for women's basketball. And frankly, I remember thinking, man, I should have recorded that conversation because it was so interesting. And I can't remember any of the details of how it works. And, you know, you pay a fee. I think it's like $2 million that you pay to you know, enter the conference. So there's kind of an access fee or whatever. But that's what we're expecting to be announced on Thursday. And, of course, we've done very well in Division II, winning 10 national championships, men's golf most recently last year. And, you know, we'll see. I mean, you move up and you would think, well, that's going to be harder. But then again, you move up and you get prestige and then you get better recruiting, then you get money. And, you know, it's kind of this, it's not such a simple thing as, you know, higher division or you know, Division I makes everything more difficult. We'll see. Only Florida school in the UAC. Five Florida schools in the A-Sun Conference. Florida Gulf Coast, Jacksonville, North Florida, and Stetson. This is reporting from, who was this? PNJ. That's right, PNJ. All right, 6:58 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Somebody says, will UWF be Division I, FBS, or FCS? Well, we're not going to be FCS right away, I would not think. I don't know, though. It's a good question. So, you know, we'll see. What else do we have going on? I don't want to get into all of that. No, I don't want to get into Spain has now adamantly gone against us in the war in Iran. They previously had said not to use their joint bases with us for operations. They've now completely closed their airspace to us. Well, sometimes you find out who's not your friends, I guess. You know, they don't think the war is appropriate, justified. You wonder whether they're, like, worried about retaliation or other things. And, you know, you don't necessarily, just because you're an ally, don't necessarily have to agree with something. But most of Europe, especially once they realized that Iran clearly had, you know, 25-mile capability to strike them. And I think Spain is sort of just outside of that zone. But the fact that you can go 2,500 miles doesn't mean that you can't go 3,000. It just means you haven't shown yet. So I just think it's unfortunate, you know, that we don't have Spain on our side in this particular way. 6:59 here on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. We'll be back in a minute.